Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, I've got two important things, then we'll get into it. A worker boldly walked into his boss's office and said, "Sir, I'd like to ask for a raise. I know three other companies are after me, and I want to secure my position." The boss looked up and said, "Is that so? What companies are after you?" The worker replied, "The electric company, the gas company, and the phone company." "I can't believe my neighbor had the audacity to ring my doorbell at 2 a.m. in the morning. Lucky for him, though, I was still up playing my bagpipes." Our new series is called Audacious, and it's not that kind of audacity and audacious, all right? So we got to clarify a couple things this morning. But first, I just want to congratulate you. You have made it halfway through the year. So just give yourself a round of applause. We have made it this far. And maybe some of you started this year and you didn't know how you were going to get through it, or maybe it's just flown by. Whatever the last 6 months have held for you, I pray that you've been growing in Christ. I was thinking back 6 months ago, my baby wasn't crawling or walking or sitting or standing. And I thought, man, you can grow a lot in 6 months. But how many know as you get older, you kind of lose faith that you actually can change in 6 months? It's like, 6 months from now, I'm going to be in the same job and the same thing, going through the same pattern. Meanwhile, my one-year-old is like, I'll be running in 6 months. I'll be doing this, right? So I want to encourage us to have faith like a child and to grow and to be present. So I just want to quickly overview the last 6 months here. Our message series, every month we pray into it. We're asking God, what are the needs in our community? What do you want to say? We're looking at the surveys that you guys filled out. And so our word for the year is bold. Can we just say bold together? Boldness is not a personality type or a free ticket to be rude. Remember January, all right? If you're like, I wasn't here in January, check out the podcast, okay? That was January. Then in February, we moved from boldness to talking about love looks like something and how to be the biggest receiver of God's love and the biggest giver of God's love. Amen. That was a good month. In March, we did Dial 911. That's one of my favorite message series of all time. We talked about how to find safety and peace in Christ in the midst of fear and chaos. Then in April, we did Spoiler Alert for Easter and talked about how Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament in Scripture in his life alone. And we looked at biblical spoiler alerts and how the Bible all connects together. And then last month, we talked about With All My Mind, and we busted through mental health myths, shame, and confusion in the church. We looked at what God had to say about addiction, anxiety, burnout, and mental health struggles. The podcasts are all updated, so if you want to catch up on any of that, feel free or share it with anyone you know. But I always like to take note every January, clearly I need to catch up to March. Whew, this is dangerous. I can't go through the last 6 months at the beginning of my sermon ever again. Last June, I wasn't here. I was on maternity leave, which, newsflash, I didn't actually really take much of a maternity leave. I was working from home a lot through it, but I wasn't here preaching because that was a little too much. But last June, I wasn't here. And so it's really special to be able to be preaching again and present again with Phoebe for the month of June. And I just want to highlight that we're not going through the motions, right? We don't go to church just to go through the motions or check it off the list or for the appearance of being better or holy. And if that's why you're here, at least you're here. That's good, all right? Whatever got you here this morning is good. But I want to encourage us to not go through the motions, to be present and to realize that just like Phoebe, you know, who's walking now and then was crawling, but 6 months ago wasn't doing any of that. How have you grown? And just to take note. And if you're like, you know, I don't feel like I've grown at all. Okay, well, that doesn't mean you haven't grown, right? Because even just a little baby step, others can often see growth before we can. But let's just be present and say, God, I want to grow the next 6 months. I don't want to end the year like I started it. Amen? So we're going to do a message series now on audacious faith, all right? I want to read some definitions here first. The word audacious means extremely bold. I figured 6 months in, we did boldness in January. Now we're doing extremely bold, all right? Extremely bold or daring, recklessly brave, or fearless. Now, originally, I was just going to name the series audacious, and then I thought, that sounds kind of dangerous. I don't really like that. I don't want to be rude or like recklessly anything, right? So, of course, we're going to be audacious faith. That's the name. We have audacious faith. And faith means confidence or trust in a person or thing, or to be fully persuaded. That I am all in for being extremely bold in. Amen? So we're talking about daring confidence in God. Asking the question, when was the last time you prayed an audacious prayer or had faith for God to move in an impossible way in your life or in our world? It's time to build up our confidence in who Jesus is and how he is moving right now. And how many know you can't earn it? You can't strive for it. All we can do is receive the gift of faith. It's freely given, and God is giving it to you and to me this month. He's giving it to us. Amen. And so before I get too far into my message, I want to invite Tammy up because she's going to share a testimony on faith. And every week this month, we're going to be highlighting a testimony from our community. And so give it up for Tammy here.
Thank you. I gotta dig out my notes. So I struggle a lot with having confidence to talk out loud or to even speak about Jesus too much because I always feel I don't know enough and I don't want to sound dumb. I want to have the right answers. So my husband always says, you know way more than you think you do. So my job has a Bible study, and we meet once a month usually. So this last year, we hadn't met at all because we had, you know, summer hours, and the day we did it fell on that day. And then the lady who led the Bible study ended up having to work from home because she had to care for her husband. So you can definitely feel it in the atmosphere of the office. There was a lot of tension, a lot of anxieties going on. So not too long ago, she asked, hey, do you guys want to meet up for Bible studies again? So everybody was like, yes, we need it. So one day I was talking to Pastor Jordy in passing, and I know Pastor Brian spoke of Pastor Jordy last week, so I'm going to talk about her again today. So I was talking to her in passing about my work Bible studies and how we hadn't had them in a while. So she's like, well, you should do it. I'm like, no way. There's no way I can do that. I don't have it in me. So she says, you do. I can totally see you doing this. So, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't think so. So again, you know, some more time passed. And then one night we were at Cortland Home Group and she said, did you lead a Bible study yet? And I said, no, but we're going to meet soon. We're going to get together soon. Well, you need to do it. And I was like, no, I don't think so. But then I heard the Lord say, the names of God. So I have a book in my desk at work that I've had for a couple of years now. And I said, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. That's probably what we need to do. So I asked everyone, I said, you know, I have this book, you know, on the names of God, and I feel the Lord really wants us to do a Bible study on this. So I led my first Bible study 2 weeks ago. I was nervous, scared, anxious, but I had the faith that the Lord would get me through it because I figured, you know, he's not going to ask me to do something that he's not going to help me through, right? So I realized I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he gave me the faith I was lacking and the confidence that I needed. So Jesus said, all you need is to have is the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. So I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, be. Amen. Amen. Love that. So Jesus, right now, hey, I want to just encourage and do an invitation. If you are in a workplace where you have been feeling God stir up, like I need to, maybe it's a Bible study, maybe it's just going for a little walk around the office and praying under your breath, whatever it is, I just want to pray a blessing on you right now with courage to step out in faith. So God, right now, I just ask that you would fill us with the same faith that you filled Tammy with and the same boldness and audacious faith. God, that you would open doors in the workplaces represented here, Father, where atmospheres feel burdened or pressured or depressing or oppressive. God, I thank you that you have put a light in us that is greater than the darkness, and that you would shine that light in the workplaces represented in this church, whether it's Bible study, whether it's prayer, whatever it is, God, we just ask for the light to shine in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tammy. Let's go. So our key verse is now faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That is Hebrews 11, verse 1. And that word faith is used over 200 times in the New Testament. And it's usually translated as faith, right? Confidence or trust. Faith, I'm just going to read a little list of some of what faith is in the Bible. Faith is the beginning of salvation. What must I do to be saved, right? Believe in Acts 16. It's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11, 6. Faith is part of Jesus' healing, right? Matthew 8, 9, Mark 2. Faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22. Has anyone ever tried to work really hard at having more faith instead of working really hard at letting go and just surrendering to God and receiving faith? Anyone done that? Faith is how we walk in victory that overcame the world in 1 John 5:4. Faith can be the size of a mustard seed, right, and still move mountains. And it is always a gift from God, not produced by us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2 really separates Christianity out from any other religion. We're not trying to earn salvation. We're not trying to get to a higher level by what we're doing. We are receiving a free gift through the finished work of Christ. Amen? So in Hebrews 11, I was looking at it, and it's called, famously, the Hall of Faith. And the entire chapter could be our theme verse, but that would be a little much. We'd be here till next Sunday, right? And so I just want to read a little bit more of Hebrews 11. It is full of famous Bible heroes living out their faith. It's an amazing chapter, and I'm sure that Caleb and I will kind of get into it more this month. But in Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says, these were all commended for their faith. They just listed a bunch of heroes of faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Now, if I was trying to push an amazing idea, I would really push that it all ends perfectly as soon as possible, right? When you see an ad online, or I hate the ads that come up, like if you're like trying to watch a TV show and then you have like the same prescription ad every time, or maybe they just target our internet, I don't know. And it doesn't say like, and in eternity, you're gonna feel the benefits of this drug, so get it today, right? They don't say that. They're like, in an hour, you'll feel great. And then here are like 50,000 side effects, right? That I pray none of us get if someone needs the drug, right? And because the world just sells instant, instant, instant. And so as we're talking about faith, we need to be really clear about what we're actually talking about. We are talking about putting our faith in God, not in an instant result. And for those of us on earth, we kind of have to ask God to renew our mind about what that is, because we're so geared to instant gratification, especially through social media and all of it. It just instant, instant, instant. But faith produces something that is eternal. So right out of the gate, we have to realize that the kind of audacious faith we're talking about isn't about instant. It's about putting our faith in God, who I trust beyond what I can see. Amen? Even when we don't see the promise on earth. And so I want to just get into this. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2. You can turn there in your Bible. But before we do, did anybody get the newsletter this week? I sent it out yesterday. All right, I'm like, how many went to spam, right? That's the question. If you didn't get the newsletter and you're like, hey, don't be offended. It just means maybe I don't have the right email in our system or something, or it went to your spam. But if you didn't get the email, fill out the Connect card, even if you think we have your information, and pop it in the black box, because you'll get the next one. We send it out every month. But our logo or our image for this month is a VW bus. Anybody see the VW bus? All right. Anybody have a VW bus? I was curious. Okay. You know what we're all praying for? Next Saturday, when we witness, we're just like, do you know Jesus and do you have a VW bus, right? That's who we're praying for next in this church, all right? So Brian and I, at the end of a long day, it's been a long 2 weeks. Brian lost his grandfather yesterday, and it's just been a hard couple weeks for us as a family. And so we went down to a little cafe by our house. It was like 8:45. The cafe closed at 9 p.m. We did not care. We were getting out of the house. So we get there, and we sit down. I just have like a little like tea, and we're sitting there just to be outside of the house. And this older gentleman walks in, younger if he ever watches this, all right? And of course, he makes friends with Phoebe, because Phoebe makes friends with everybody. She waves, right, and starts up jabbering to him. And so he comes over and starts talking to us. And I don't know how we got on the conversation, but he starts telling us about his VW bus. All right. And he says that he just sold it and he was very sad. But the guy he sold it to had this story of his VW bus. And he said he was speeding. This guy was caught speeding in his VW, and he went to court because he was speeding so much. And the judge threw out the case. He didn't even give him a ticket because he didn't believe him, because it said that the VW bus was going 105 miles per hour. And the judge was like, that's physically impossible. And so how many are siding with the judge? If you Google it, a VW bus can go a max of 75. That's what I just did last night. I was like, how fast can it go? 75, all right? Well, that would be an obvious answer. Throw out the case. Some of us today would side with the judge, throw out the case, because it's crazy, right? But remember, our series is Audacious Faith, okay? So the guy continues to tell his story. Turns out on the outside, this looked like a VW bus, but on the inside, it had a Porsche. Is it called Porsche? This is embarrassing. Please stay in our church. Brian loves cars. Porsche 911 engine and transmission. Now, how many would throw out the case now that you know what's inside of it? Suddenly, we might give the guy a ticket, right? It doesn't take much faith to know it could go 105, maybe a little more. Fun fact, I was telling Pastor Tom this yesterday, and he actually sent me a video of a VW bus speeding. It is the most funny thing you have seen with your two eyes. I dare you, just Google it afterwards. It's like, what is happening, right? So when we look at our circumstances and ourselves in the mirror, it's really easy to throw out the case like the judge, right? To have faith for a miracle, a breakthrough, a deliverance, a provision, whatever it is that you've been seeking God about. Because how could this, I'm not pointing at you, I'm not calling you a VW bus, all right? But how could this VW bus go 105? How could this VW bus, how could this person get a breakthrough? How could this person lead a Bible study? Or how could this person, whatever it is, right? Until you realize that Christ is in you, and you got a Porsche 911 engine, you go 105 on the highway. Please do not. All right, just putting that out there. So let's unpack what faith is today, all right? So again, we're in Mark chapter 2. We're going to stay here the whole time. This is a little bit of a simpler message. Why? Because faith is actually simple. And if you grew up in church or you have a child, you've probably read this chapter 1,000 times, probably with little kid illustrations. And I got to admit to you, I read this so many times this week as I was studying it. I was looking at commentaries, and I had a really hard time getting past the simplicity of the message, because I kept seeing this little stick figure lowering the guy through the roof, because it's like in my head that it's a kid's story. But this isn't a kid's story. This is a humanity story. So Mark chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read the whole story in the next few minutes here as we unpack it. Remember, we're talking about audacious faith. So, number one, audacious faith befriends the broken. All right, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the front door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So, again, we're coming in with childlike faith. I looked up some facts. Capernaum is the same size as Dryden. Fun fact. Did you know you lived in Capernaum? Did you know we're going to the streets of Capernaum next week to the cow festival, right? Dairy days. Maybe they would have had a fish festival. That's what they would have done, all right? But it's the exact same size. I thought that was really cool because sometimes when we read the scripture, it's about a place so far away that we have no idea, no grid for it, for how it affects us. But some of us are living in the same environment as Capernaum. It was made up of homes that were one story with flat roofs accessible by a staircase on the outside. And people often slept on the roofs and worked on them because their homes were so small. When I lived in Israel, I actually lived about 30 minutes from Capernaum. So I love that area. The roofs were thatched with brush, mud, and branches. And so if these men made a hole in it, it meant the crowd below, specifically Jesus, got really dirty when they were digging through. So like let it rain kind of sounds different in that, right? There's like dirt falling through as they're digging through the roof. And again, as I was praying into this, we were visiting family this week with Brian's family as he was dealing with his grandparent passing. And we were in this hotel, and I was like, God, are you really calling me to preach on Mark 2? It just seems like such a simple story. And then one by one, all these roofers came through the lobby. And one of them had the shirt, Blessed Roof. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to preach on digging a hole through the roof, right? It was hilarious. So anyway, roofs have been on the mind. But they were thatched roofs. And so when you made a hole, the crowd below got dirty. How many know that when you are trying to get someone to Jesus, we can get a little dirty in the process? I'm sure none of you got anyone a little messy when you were trying to get to Jesus for the first time. The friends of this man didn't wait until the crowd left. They didn't tell the guy that it wasn't meant to be because they couldn't get through to Jesus. They made a way where there was none to receive something that made absolutely no sense, a total healing for a paralyzed man. Let's not forget the end goal. Have you ever thought of someone in your life and you're like, well, it'd be a miracle if they come to Jesus? Like, that is kind of the point. It was for you and it was for me. How many know it's all a miracle, right? And so I want to, again, stir up some faith in our hearts this morning and this month. Lowering the man through the roof was a lot easier than trying to get him out of the house on the mat if he didn't get the miracle, right? When they got that man down through the roof, they were like, it's either you get healed or I don't know what, because we can't get you back out through the crowd, right? And so when we befriend somebody who doesn't know Jesus, when we are in an environment, maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's family, whatever it is, and we're like, you know what, God, I just want today, let me point them to Jesus. Oftentimes, it's like, it's either Jesus or we're stuck, right? And that was the environment that these men brought their friend to. The end goal is about the same as a VW bus speeding at 105. Watching the man get lowered through the roof is similar to that bus speeding by you on the highway. Think about it. You're in this crowd. Jesus is teaching, and this man just gets lowered down. And it's like, to us, we'd be like, oh, bring him up to the altar. Let's start, like Jason, sing More I Seek You one more time, right? Let's just set the tone. We're going to pray, right? But back then, it wasn't exactly like that. It smelled fishy. There's a crowd. There's actually some religious teachers that are arguing over theology. Jesus is trying to handle them, right? It's all packed. It's the same as like sitting at 13 and a VW bus just goes, whoosh, and you're like, what? Right? That's what the environment was like as he was lowered down. Audacious faith isn't passive. It isn't lazy. It isn't apathetic. It isn't looking for a reason or an excuse to stop. It goes deeper than the surface level. It doesn't ignore pain. And it goes through the roof in a crowd in love. That is audacious faith. Amen. So my question to you this morning is, how are you being a witness in your daily life? Start in your home if you're married or you've got kids or you've got roommates, whatever it is. If you're with people in your house, how are you pointing them to Jesus? It's so easy to get up, get out the door and be like, all right, God, you're driving to work. Let me be a witness. And God's like, well, can we start back before you left your bed, right? Start at home. Thriving homes transform cities, right? Starts the moment we open our eyes. How can we point people to Jesus? So number one, audacious faith befriends the broken and points people to Jesus. Number two, audacious faith recognizes Jesus. So we're going to continue on here, verse 5 in Mark chapter 2. I hope you're in your Bibles this morning. If anyone ever needs a Bible, they're in the Next Step desk. Don't leave without one, all right? When Jesus saw their faith, everyone say saw. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus saw their faith. When we are living our lives and we have God with us, Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit, right? We can walk by faith because it's a gift of the Spirit. So my question is, what do people see on you? Are they seeing faith or are they seeing fear? In your home, in your workplace, what do you see on you? And I want to invite you, if you don't see faith, to surrender whatever it is and to receive faith from Jesus. When you recognize Jesus for who he is, people see audacious faith on you. It's a side effect, not striving. How many know that when you behold Jesus in worship, that's why worship was so sweet this morning, because we were seeing Jesus, we were recognizing him for who he is, right? 1,000 generations falling down in worship. Doesn't that stir faith in you? And that is one of the reasons why it is so important to be rooted in community that is going after Jesus, that is beholding him regularly together. Because when we get isolated, it's easy to not recognize Jesus because Jesus is in you and he's in me and he's in community as well. Amen? So let's just talk about this miracle for just a minute. We're almost done here. The first thing Jesus did to the paralyzed man wasn't to heal the outside obvious issue, but the inner identity issue of sin, right? And here's a quote from a Bible teacher named Warren. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. I think it's so important as we're talking about faith to realize that we're not stirring up faith to see a miracle, a physical miracle here. Even though we are. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's go, Jesus, right? Only he can do it. But we are putting our faith in God and hungry to see forgiveness, hungry to see salvations, right? Let's just keep the main thing, and then everything else comes with that. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? It wasn't just about miracles, physical miracles. When Jesus said he forgave, he also was making a statement to the religious leaders. So I did a little research on this, and the rabbis of that time had a saying, there is no sick man healed of his sickness until all his sins have been forgiven. Now, remember, last month we talked about three different ways to look at mental health. Well, back then, the rabbis and the culture saw sickness as spiritual. So if you were sick, it had a spiritual root. And so that meant only healing could really come if you were forgiven as well. So before Jesus healed the man physically, he was saying to those religious teachers that were arguing with him and trying to should and shouldn't and can't, he was saying to the paralyzed man, you are forgiven. God isn't angry with you. He isn't rejecting you. He went after the heart issue before he went out after the physical issue. Isn't that amazing? And how many have come to church or come to God with a physical issue, and you're like, God, if you just meet my need, and God's like, we'll take care of your need, but I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. First, remember you're a child of God, right? Jesus said, son, child, remember your identity. And from that place of recognizing Jesus, we recognize who we are in him. And he begins a healing that then can produce a wholeness, not just spiritually, but physically and emotionally as well. So as we talk about audacious faith this month, I want to make sure we don't put our eyes on physical miracles only, but we're praying, of course, for them, but keep them on Jesus, on the greatest miracle of all, salvation and forgiveness and the gift of repentance. Amen? You know you recognize Jesus when you respond, when your response is audacious faith. The lame man recognized Jesus and the crowd didn't. When a man and a woman recognize Jesus in marriage, their marriage starts to look different. When you start recognizing Jesus in your finances look different. When you recognize him in your physical health, your priorities change. How are we recognizing Jesus? How are we responding to life with audacious faith? Where do you need to recognize Jesus in your life? You following? Lastly, we're going to wrap up with this one. Audacious faith is a witness. So here we go in verse 10. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. How many know you are the miracle carrying the mat in your workplace? You are the miracle carrying your mat to your kids. You're the miracle carrying your mat to the stranger at the grocery store or wherever you're going. Be the miracle with the mat. So again, every Sunday this month, we're going to be sharing testimonies. Next week, some of you heard that we had these guys coming and you're like, well, we are in hard times. Why are we having guys coming in and juggling in the church? Right? I get it. All right. But childlike faith. There's something called childlike faith, and that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So next Sunday isn't a break. It's not a silly Sunday. It's actually a time to come to God like children and to hear some awesome testimonies of their lives, which are not silly at all, of them overcoming things. But I want to encourage you, next Sunday is all about childlike faith. But we are to be a miracle and a mat, right? So I want to invite you to stand on your feet. This last point, we're actually going to get our hands, well, hopefully not dirty. I was going to say dirty, but we're going to do some things with our hands. We're going to finish the point of the message together, all right? This is my favorite Sunday of the year because we're actually going to go pack outreach bags in the back. We're going to be able to decorate a float in the next gen. And then also, if you are in the like decorating thing, that is not my cup of tea, but if you're like Natalie, which is awesome, go be with Natalie because we're gonna be decorating next gen. We're gonna be decorating the float and all that. But if you're like a little more practical like me, just go back to the back and pack at least one bag, all right? Because we're going to be packing 1,000 outreach bags back there. And I want to read to you what we're giving out to Dryden, to our own Capernaum. We're giving out a card that says, just a reminder, Jesus loves you. He is always compassionate, loving. He remembers you, he sees you, and he created you to thrive. And then, of course, we're giving out an invitation to a Sunday morning service as well. So I want to encourage you, pack a bag. It's like an assembly line. So like you can go to the card station, you can go to the lollipop station, don't eat a lollipop, all right? You can go to the tie the bag station, whatever it is. And if you really got to go, I get it, grab one of these orange cards and take it with you, all right? Put it in your car so you can invite somebody, whether it's next Sunday or anytime this coming month, let's just have some audacious faith and be a witness together, amen? How many know outreach isn't a bonus to our church? It's part of it, right? So I'm just going to pray here. And I want to pray, I want to do an invitation this morning to pray for anyone who wants to be a witness in your workplace, just like Tammy's testimony especially. And then next Sunday, I'm actually going to hand out prayer cards, and we're going to write down in faith some things that we are praying into personally, and we're going to pray over that every Sunday for the rest of the month. I have a friend who did a series on faith, and he was just telling me about it. And he said 5 years later, he still has people coming to him, telling him of the miracles that God did on the prayer cards that he handed out from 5 years earlier, that people were still having testimonies of what God was doing. So that's the kind of faith that I am believing for us as a church. So if you need faith for your workplace, maybe you've been struggling in it, maybe there's the atmosphere's been heavy, maybe you're like, God, I want to be a witness, but I don't know how, because in a workplace it takes wisdom. Sometimes you have to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, right? I want to pray for you this morning. So if that's you, I just want to invite you to open up your hands just to receive. Jesus, I just thank you for the gift of audacious faith, that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that right now you are giving out this gift in this church. God, we receive it, whether we can feel a change, whether we can't, it's not about a feeling. We trust in you, God. And right now I ask for open doors and workplaces across the counties, every county represented here this morning, God, that there would be salvations, that there would be people reintroduced to who you really are. Maybe there's been someone who's scared away from you because they didn't actually realize who you are, God. Help us be a witness this week and this month. Show us who we can invite to thrive in you, God. Teach us how to be a witness. And I just bless you this morning with audacious faith to befriend the broken, to point people to Jesus in your home, and in your workplace. I bless you to recognize Jesus and to be able to respond to him wherever you are. And I bless you to be a witness in your life this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.